I don't think he'll have any problems getting through the material. Tov, the Mishnah presented a few ideas. We'll get back to each one as the Gemara discusses them. So let's see. Let me get my handy dating computer program up, and then I will know what I'm doing. Without a computer, I wouldn't even be able to learn Gemara. So Gemara says, Amar Shmuel. Here it is. Amar Shmuel, the Olam al yotzi adam et atzmo min haklal. Shmuel says, wait a second. The whole mission is giving me the willies because this basic principle that a person shouldn't take himself out of the klal. And Snam b'shlosha v'hu, and if you have three plus him, then you say Baruch Hu, Nivarech et Hashem Elokeinu, Nivarech Shachanu Mishalo, or Nivarech Elokeinu Shachanu Mishalo, but you're adding an extra word that they're not repeating. So essentially you're saying, oh, not only that, I think the word Baruch Hu means like, you bless, it's a command. Baruch Hu means you bless. Nivarech means we bless. Baruch Hu means you should bless. So by saying Baruch Hu, which is a command you seem to be removing yourself from the klal. So this is still Shmuel. This is the Gemara's mind. I think the Shmuel is saying, Ema af Baruch Hu, umikom akom nivarech adiv. So what's the answer? The answer is, what the Mishnah was trying to tell you is that if you have an extra person and he says Baruch Hu, you're still okay because you still have three people who are doing the bracha. But that's not what you should do. You should say, even if you're four people, you should say nivarech, and the other three people are with you. Does that make sense, or good? So really, the Gemara, it's a little bit of a rewrite of the Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, if it's three plus who, say Baruch Hu. And Shmuel is saying that means, even if you said Baruch Hu, Gamzu L'tova, why? Because then even if you exclude yourself from the community, you still have enough people left. So the Gemara says, D'Amar Rav Ad Barava, there's a proof case, a proof text, Amar Rav Amri Bey Rav Tinyana, they learned a Mishnah or a Tosefta, just like Shmuel is arguing, which is the following. Vav nechlekim ad yod. If you have six people until ten, you could split apart into two groups. I amarta bishlevan nivarech adif. If you're telling me that nivarech is the best choice, mishim hachi nechleku. What does that mean? I have six. And if I'm telling you that I could dissipate between six and go to, that is, if I'm splitting apart six, I have three and three. And if I have three and three, the assumption is that I'm not saying Baruch Hu, I'm saying Nivarech. So it's not at a higher level, it's the same. Ela'i amar Baruch Hu Adi. If you're saying Baruch Hu is the best, am I Nechlekin? That is, if you think that you're supposed to say Baruch Hu, if you split six into three and three, the group of six can say Baruch Hu. The group of three and three cannot say Baruch Hu. So essentially, you should not be able to lower down. You shouldn't be able to split a group of six into a group of three and three, just like you can't take 10 and split it into 7 and 3. Because with 10, you could say Nivarech Elokeinu Shecham Shelo, but then the two groups by themselves, the 7 plus the 3, or the 6 plus the 4, or the 5 plus the 5, I feel like I'm playing craps, you know, where you figure out what the dice are playing. So in all those three cases, you can't say Nivarech Elokeinu Shecham Shelo, you have to say Nivarech Shechanu. You can't split that. So too, if the Baruch Hu was the best option, then you couldn't possibly split six. You'd need eight to split. That eight would split it to 4 and 4, and then you'd be able to say Baruch Hu.
Maybe two Nevarach instead of one Baruch. If you have six, it's three and three, so you say two Nevarach. Each one says Nevarach.
Yeah, but if that were true.
So if you have a six, you only say Baruch Hu, so maybe two Nevarach instead of
one Baruch. If that was true, though, I don't know if it adds up like that quantitatively. That's like if I have two guys with a 70 IQ, does it come up with one guy with does it beat a guy with 130? I'm not sure it works that way. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, Bein Sha'amar Baruch Hu, Bein Sha'amar Nivarech, Ein Tofsin, Ein Tofsin Atalkach. You don't, if a guy says Baruch Hu, you don't stop him. By the way, I'm not sure if that's three. If it's three and a guy says Baruch Hu, I think you got a problem. Because you're excluding yourself from the community, and therefore there are only two people left who are saying Nivarech Baruch Nivarech Shalom Shalom. No, I'm saying this is in a case where you have regular three. I think it means where you have regular four. Although it could be even if you say Baruch Hu, you're still, even though Shmuel's arguing if you say Baruch Hu, you've removed yourself from the Tzibor. It could be that you're not completely removed from the Tzibor, but nonetheless it's not nice for you to command to other people to say it. So Tani Nami Hachi Ben Shamar Baruch Hu Ben Shamar Nivarech Ein Tovsal Tach Avahan Mintaktikin Tosal Tolkach. Those are the guys, Nadaktikim, those are the guys who will stop you in the middle of a Kriya for the little possible flaw. So here also we got a situation where a guy says Baruch Hu instead of Nivarech. A guy says, no, stop, it's no good. So it says, you know, it's very interesting. Even in the Gemara's time, there were those that, you know, used to get medakdek about this, and people that weren't. It's nice to know that human nature doesn't change in 2,000 years too much. What's that? Like mitaher and mitaher. Well, you know, this is only the case of Baruch Hu. I can't say what they would say in this case. And from the way a guy says the bracha, Baruch Hu O Nivarech, you can tell whether the guy is a Talmud Chacham. Where it says, wait a second, how am I supposed to tell based on how a guy prays whether you're a Talmud Chacham or not? So Rav says the following. If the guy says, Uv Tuvo Chayinu, which is what we say, Hari's a Talmud Chacham. If he says, Umi Tuvo, Hari's a Bor. He's a worthless guy. Why, by the way, Rashi jumps in, he says, because Mi Tuvo means God has given you some of his goodness. Umi tuvo, from some of the things that God has desired to give me, as opposed to saying whatever God gives me is good. So it's like thanks for 10% of the market. So that's not something you want to say. Samarle Abai Rav Dimi Havahtiv Umbi Bir Kadechi Varech Beit Avdecha Lolam. It says, from your blessings let you bless the house of your servants forever. Skamar says, no, Bashela Shiny. That's different. Rashi says, if I'm not mistaken, it's Rashi. Rashi says that's a question. When you're asking for something, then it's you ask a little bit with, you're not so chutzpahdik. You don't say, give me 100% of what I want. When you are asking for something in a prayer, you say, I will be happy if you give me from some of your blessings. But if you've already eaten the food, you're not blessing God, you're not asking God for anything, you're thanking God for things, then you don't separate between what you got and what you don't got. So Gemara says, wait a second, B'shele Nami Haktiv, Harchev Picha V'amalehu. Spread your mouth, and I will fill it up. And the impression there is, if you want to ask a bakasha, open your mouth big and ask for everything you need. You need $100, don't ask for 50. You need $100, ask for 100. So Gemara says, no, Hahu B'divrei Torah K'tiv. That, Harchev Picha V'amalehu, open your mouth and I'll fill it up. You might have thought it was talking about food, but it's not talking about food. It's talking about the ability to want to express oneself in Torah. So when it comes to asking people for Torah, then you ask for everything. When you're asking God for Torah, you ask for everything. When you ask God for everything else, you say, Mi Tuvecha. And when you thank God, you thank God for everything that He gave you. Tanana Rabbi Yomer. This is another way to know the difference between, based on prayer methodology, whether somebody is Talmud Chacham or Bor. Betuvo Chayinu. If the guy says, Betuvo Chayinu, we have lived with your goodness, or with His goodness. Hari Zat Talmud Chacham. Chayim, Hari Zat Bor. If he says, Betuvo Chayim, in His goodness, there is life, that's a Bor. Now the question is why. So I don't know if I looked at Rashi. I think probably because what you're trying to say is you're making it kind of universalistic. That's what I would have guessed. Let me take a look and see what the Rashi says on this. Dehotzi atzmo min haklal. He's saying everybody else has lived. If you say tavo chayim, that everybody is alive, then you've removed yourself from the klal. I'm not sure why. Why wouldn't you include yourself in the klal? Chayinu, so you're saying I'm definitely in. Oh, so really, the truth is, b'chayim could be understood as the klal, but when you compare it to chayinu, then chayim seems very cold and like you're out of it. Yeah, okay, I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. Okay. Nevar hilai matli ifcha. So the people from Nahar Vila used to learn the opposite, which is that you're supposed to say chayim and not chayinu. And the Gemara says, let hilchta kinehar balai. We don't pass them like them. Although I guess it shouldn't surprise us that the word chayim and chayinu are hard to tell the difference between the two, because even the Amorayim from Nahar Balai were having a hard time knowing which one is the best one, even though we don't pass like that. So I'm Rav Yochanan, I got another way if you know the guy's Talmud Chacham, which is a guy says, Nivarech Shachal Mishaloh, we will bless because we ate that which belonged to him. Harvis Talmud Chacham, Lemi Shachal Mishaloh, he who we ate from him, Hari Zabor. Rashi adds why, because it seems to be saying that you're saying that there's more than one supplier of goods. I'm going to bless the one who gave me as opposed to somebody else. So they're being medayik on the word lemi, the one who, as opposed to the one who does not. So Amar Lei Ravacha, Berei Deravel, Ravashi, V'ham Rinan, wait, lemi shas lavotenu lanu ekol anisim edu. We say lemi all the time. It doesn't necessarily exclude people. It just means who. It's just a pronoun. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Lei Hata Mucha Milta. There, it's obvious who you're talking about, because you specified the one who did miracles. Mand Avid Nisik Kuchabrich. We know God's the one who does miracles. Nobody has the question. Everybody understands God does miracles. We're not talking about atheism here or something. Talk about miracles, it's God. So you can say the Misha Sanisan. When you're talking about food, I guess you could assume that there's other ways to get food. Luck, your own hard work, a marketplace, and anything. So I guess there, since it's not so obvious, you're not allowed to say Ummi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Baruch, Shachanu Mishlo, Hari Zatam Chacham. Ala Mazon Shachanu Hari Zabor. If you say we bless God for the food He gave us, that's okay. But if you say al mazon shachalnu, I bless on the food. It's very. I thank God for the food we ate. It's close to the Christian. Even though they mention God, they're thanking God for the food that we ate. That we don't do that. We are thanking God. I mean, that's not exactly this extreme case, because in this extreme case, it just says thank God. No, it would be. It'd be nivarech al hamazon shachanu. Let us bless on the food. Oh, so you've really left God out in that case completely. Yeah, I still see the difference between the Christian, we thank God for the food that we have gotten, as opposed to thank God that we've eaten from His food. But maybe I'm just being pro-Jewish here. I amar Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yehoshua lo amar ela b'gimel. The only time that you say you're not allowed to say alamazon she'achalnu is when you don't have three. Well, I'm sorry, when you only have three. Deleka shem shamayim, because then you don't mention. Oh, that's the problem, because you don't have Hashem's name. You say alamazon she'achalnu, you don't know whose food it is. Aval basaradi kashem shamayim uchamilta. Once you have ten, you say elo baruch elokeinu alamazon she'achalnu. Once you mention God's name, so you're back in business. You know who it's for. That would be right. Aval ba'asaradi, k'shem shemayim uchamilta. Everybody knows you're talking about God, and the food comes from God, so you can bless on the food itself. So k'ditznan k'inyan shumavarech kach onim. We learned in the Mishnah, just like the guy who does the zimun says, so too do you answer afterwards. What do you answer? Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzvaot Yoshev Hakrivim al hamazon she'achalnu. So if you notice, that specific bracha does have al hamazon she'achalnu. Not that I've ever been in a situation with 1,000 people to know, was that 10,000 or 10,000? I can't remember, but I've never been in that situation where I'm meeting with that many people. But God willing, we'll be at Mashiach and we'll sit in Yerushalayim and make that kind of bracha. Echad, although maybe they could have, if they would have had a meal at the Siyam Shas, they could have done that bracha taka. And how many times you get to do a bracha like that with 1,000? What's that? No, Rebo, so an elephant is 1,000, Rebo is 10,000. Rebo, I don't think, is 100,000. In one spot, so the doctor could have, yeah, but probably they wouldn't possibly be allowed to do it over a microphone. That's a separate issue. So, 11 ad, I'm sorry, 11 v'ad esrei asara ribo, which means it's the same bracha, the Mishnah says, same bracha, whether you go from 11 all the way to 10,000. Hagufakash, you just contradict yourself. How do I know you contradict yourself? The Mishnah itself says, amarta, 11 esrei, achad esrei v'echad asara ribo, alma hadadin in here. You just said that it's the same thing all the way from 11 to 10,000. V'hadar katani, but later on in the same Mishnah you read b'meya omer, b'alef omer, b'ribo omer. You say three different formulas for three different groups of people. So the Gemara says, no, I'm Rav Yosef lo kasha. Rav Yosef says, that's not a problem. Ha, Rav Yosef Agli, ha, Rav Yakiba. Don't forget that the Mishnah had two personalities in it. One was Rabbi Yosef Agli, one was Rabbi Akiva. And you thought that they weren't arguing about this specifically, that they were just commenting in general. No, they were commenting about this issue. The Tanan Rabbi Yosef Agli Amar Lefi Rov Bika Hakal Am Varchim Shneamar B'Makalat Baruch Hu Elohim. According to Rabbi Yosef Agli, the bigger the kal, the bigger the bracha. Rabbi Akiva, however, says, "I'm Rabbi Akiva, Mama Tzinu Beit HaKnesset," and that's where Rabbi Akiva kicks in and says, "No, look at the shul. You don't change your davening just because you have more people in the shul. Therefore, you don't change your brachat mazon just because you have more people. Once you have a minion, you're good to go. Once you have a minion, you are good to go." Rabbi Akiva, hi. The Rabbi Akiva, hi. Crud. Rabbi Yosi, Agli, the Mayavidle. It's very interesting. Rabbi Akiva wants to know. They want to know. Rabbi Akiva is going to do with that beautiful pasuk. We have b'makelot barchu Elohim. With the communities, with the congregations, give blessing to Elohim, which seems to mean that you have to measure your blessing in accordance with the size of the makalah. The word bid there, the preposition bid there doesn't mean in, it means according to. Like b'machatzit ha-shekel or b'kol beito, that's according to the kehilah, then you bless God. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with that beautiful pasuk? So he says, no, mi ba'ilei lekach. He needs it for another purpose. Tanya, hi, Rav Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Ovrim, sorry, Minayin Shafilu Ubarim Shebimei Iman Amru Shira Aliyam. How do we know that the fetuses inside their mother's womb said Shira when the water split? Shneamar B'makelot Barchu Elokim Hashem Mimekor Yisrael. With the masses, they bless God. They bless God from the Makor, from the center of Israel. V'idach, that's nice. So Rabbi Akiva just proved that that's the pasuk that we know that people in their mother's wombs were, that children in mother's wombs were saying Shirat Hayam. V'idach. What about Rabbi Elazar now? What is he going to do? Because he needs people to say shir in their mother's wombs. So he says mimakor nafka. They learn it out from the fact that there's a double part of that pasuk. If you go back to the pasuk, it says machalav baruch Elohim Hashem mimakor Yisrael. So according to Rabbi Kiba, it doesn't see any difference between the two parts of that pasuk. They're perfectly parallel. They add nothing. But according, at least as far as we tell, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, the first part of the pasuk is talking about brachat hamazon and ramping up tefillot in general. And according to the second part of the puzzle, that's how we know that babies were singing in their mother's wombs. And I have to say, this is very weird. When you're talking about halachic derivations, so you have to figure out what to do with the pasuk. If somebody's using the pasuk that you're using for halachic derivation, you got to figure out what to use it for. So why can't Rabbi Ezra say, okay, maybe they weren't singing in their mother's wombs. Or maybe the pasuk didn't want to tell us about singing. It's not like a mitzvah. There's no halachic thing to be learned out of the fact that the babies are singing in the mother's womb. Why is Rabbi Elazar pressed to bring a pasuk? I don't have an answer, by the way. I do have a slight answer. If it's true, what I'm saying is that you don't have to force yourself into interpreting a pasuk unless you must come to a certain conclusion, and therefore you need pasuk support. It could be that it's a principle, fundamental faith to believe that everybody was singing Shira and there wasn't a single person not singing Shira. Like a shloshesei midot of the Rambam. You see what I'm saying? That is, if this is a dogma which needs proof, without which Rabbi Eliezer can't sleep at night because he didn't use the pasuk to learn that babies sleep, and he has to go find another part of the pasuk to prove it, that means that he must prove it. And if he must prove it, and it's not halacha, I'm only left with one conclusion, that it's a dogma. Of course, that dogma didn't come to us. Nowhere does it say, Ani mami b'muna shlema, that babies were singing in the mother's wombs. But I tell you, looking at this Gemara, I'm not so sure that Rabbi Eliezer at least did not. Anyway, let's continue on. Amar Rava, halachic Rabbi Akiva. In any event, halachic Rabbi Akiva, whether you got 10 or whether you got 10,000, I'm sorry, from 11 to 10, I think 11 has Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Shachalam Yish. No, there's no difference. There's no difference for Meya. There's no difference. Essentially, once you hit 10, it's the same Baruch Shachalam Yish. Oh, that explains why they didn't do it at, wait a second. That explains why they didn't do it at the Siyam, because it's the same bracha either way. Halacha Rabbi Kiva. Okay. Ravina Rav Chama Bar Buzi, Ikle Lebei Reish Galuta. So they're visiting Reish Galuta. Kam Rav Chama Vakamahader Abi Ma'a. So Rav Chama got up and he went after Avi. Kamahadar Avi Meya. What does that mean? He went searching for 100? Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I knew what this meant at one point, but I lost it. Hold on.
Yeah.
He's trying to find 100? Hold on a second. Yeah, because he wanted to say that special nusach, right? Oh, yeah, of course. Which means, you drove yourself crazy to get 100. It wasn't necessary. It's the same bracha either way, because we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rava, ki achlinon rifta bei reish galutim evarchim gimel gimel. When we were eating in the house of, we were all eating bread in the house of reish galutim, we all blessed 3 by 3. V'livarchu yud yud. So why didn't you get a group of 10 together? So shama reish galuta v'ikpid. If we were only saying 3 by 3, nobody's going to notice that we're saying a zimun and slipping out to do something. But if we say 10, then he's going to notice that we're breaking off from, apparently, I don't know, 100 people at his table. He's going to see that we broke off 10 people and didn't say brachat mazon with him. V'nifku b'bracha tad reish galuta. Okay, so what do you cause such a problem for? Why don't you just be yotzi with the bracha of reish galuta? So the Gemara says, "Aidi da'avshu kol echad lo shame." Are you kidding? His house is so noisy and screaming, nobody hears a word that's going on. It's like a real Beit Medrash where you can't hear yourself think. So that's how the Gemara concludes. Amarav tosafa'a. I got an addition for you. Hani gimel dekrachi rifta ba'adi adari. 3 people eating bread together. They're making sandwiches together. And one guy gets up, he breaks from the other 2, and he says brachat hamazon. What happens is those 2 people could then ask him to keep sitting down, even though he's already said brachat hamazon. They could say brachat hamazon, and he could answer them and be yotze because they ate together. I said, I don't know if this is halacha, but I think it may be. I think Taka, this may be the halacha. Hold on a second. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So why? Because they were part of the meal. Ah, iulo nafka b'zimun ditu. What if he wants to go back and say a zimun now? Or is he yotze with the fact that he answered the other guy zimun? And the answer is no. The fishein zimun l'mafrei. He does not. He said brichat mazon, very nice, but he does not yotze the zimun that he said with the other guys because his brichat mazon is already over. So while he can add to them, they cannot. His adding to them does not include a zimun for him. He's just a dumb. He's just a simple player. Rav Yishmael Omer, Rafram Bar Papa. I love when we get to Rafram Bar Papa. Ikla lebei kanishna da Abi Giber. So, or Abi Gover, Abi Gibor, I'm not sure. Kam kra b'safra. He got up and he was reading in the Torah. Va'amar baruchu et Hashem. And that's all he said. No mevorach. Ishtik. And he said nothing more. V'lo amar hamvorach. Sha'avshu kol achad. Everybody started yelling. Oh, baruch Hashem mevorach. What are you doing? Say the last word. So amar rav patio uchma. So Rava said to him, this means you black vessel. According to the, I looked in the Steinsel, the Schottenstein. It says it's a compliment. I don't know. I'm not so sure. It doesn't really sound like it's a compliment, but I'm not an expert on these things. But either way, he calls him a patia uchma. I thought at first patio meant from the word peti, meaning a fool. But Rashi comes out against it. He says it's a kli. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I know, but that may be a little bit of a whitewash, if you know what I mean. Because Uchmat, what's that? Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's what it's right. So he's so busy with his Torah, so he smells, or he doesn't. I'm not sure that's a compliment. I've seen other gemaras with Dafka. There's gemaras where the guy's not allowed to go out with a stain on his clothes, of course, with ripped shoes we did last time. I'm not so sure, but I don't want to, maybe, I'm not an expert on these things. If the art scroll says that it's a compliment. But either way, it reads well. So, Bahadi Plukta Lamalach, why are you causing this kind of argument? Vote Hanahu Galma, Rabbi Yishmael. Everybody passing like Rabbi Yishmael. That is, obviously, Rafa Mar Papa knew what he was doing. He knew people were going to yell at him. But he was causing, she said, what are you causing trouble for? Not only that, we don't pass in that way. So, don't do that. Okay. Matzid, Gimel Shachl Ke'echad. Three people together, and Rishayim the Chalik. They cannot split apart. V'chein Dal, V'chein Chamisha. If there are five people splitting us up together, they cannot split apart. Vav, Nechakanat Asara. If I got six, they could split into two pieces. V'asara, Ein Nechakim Ad Chaf. But if I have 10, then I can't split until I hit 20. Right? I can't. That is, if you leave, you won't be able to say. One person leaves, when he was there, he was chayiv in the zimun. If he leaves, he will either be chayiv in a zero zimun, or he'll be chayiv in a lesser zimun, and therefore you can only split at six and at. You could split from six to nine into two or three groups, actually. If you're at nine, you can split into three groups. If you're six to eight, you could split into. You could split into two groups. If you're one to five, you can't. Sorry. Well, if you're two, you don't have to worry about it anyway. Now we don't know. There's no zimun. If you're three to five, you can't split at all. And then 10 to 20, you can't split until you get to 20. And then you can split into two tens. I feel like I'm a banker with these. Splitting, taking 20, splitting into up to 10 and two fives. What two separate groups eating together? They're eating one house. If they have eye contact, so you guys could be eating in the living room, I could be eating in the den. As long as we have eye contact, we're good. But if we can't see each other, it's two separate eating groups. Do not make a bracha on wine. And by the way, we don't know what bracha. Let's assume Bari Pera Gafin, as opposed to nothing. But I'm not so. Bari Pera Gafin. The question is, what bracha are you going to make if you don't make that bracha? So we'll see. It's not nothing. It's going to be Bari Pera Eitz. We'll get to that in the Gemara. So, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Don't forget that their wine was a thick, syrupy wine. That's why it says Mazgu. It always says Mazgu, because it had to be watered down. Chachamim say no, say the bracha. Gemara says, "My kamash malan, what are you trying to tell us? Tinyan echadim zimna. One case you told us gimel shachlu kecha chayivim lekaman. That is, you Mishnah are trying to tell us that three people eating together can't split apart. Right? That's what the Mishnah said. We know that gimel shachlu kecha chayivim lezamein. And we had another Mishnah that said three people eating together they have to be zamein. If you have to be zamein, obviously you can't check out." So it's a repeat. Gemara says, no, hak kamash v'lan, it's adding a new idea. Ki ha damar rav ava amar Shmuel gimel sheyashu le'achol ke'echad v'adayin lo achlu ein rishayin l'chalek. The first mission only tells you that if you're eating. This mission tells you even sit down for a meal, even if you haven't eaten yet, you're not allowed to split up. You got to do your meal because you're in a potential position to say that zimun. The assumption is three people sat down for a meal, not three people just sat down together and maybe a meal will come. So, Lashon Acher, there's another reason why we need this mission. Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Shmuel, I'm going to ignore the Benach Bach right now, we'll just go on. Amar Shmuel, Hachi Katani, Gimel Sheyashvu, Le'echol Ke'echa, three people ate together. Afapish Kol Echav Echad Ochel. Mikikaro, even though each one's eating from a separate sandwich, yeah, kikaro, a piece of bread, really. Ain't Rishayin L'chalik, they can't split apart. They sat down together, they say Zimun together, even if they ain't talking to each other. That's the assumption, by the way, if they're not sharing bread. Nah, that's an over-assumption, if they're not sharing the bread. Inami, there's another thing we learn out here. Kihad Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, Gimel Shabao, Mi Gimel Chavurot. Ain't Rishayin L'chalik. If you have three people that came from three different Chavurot, what that means is you have four Chavurot. You had 3, 3, 3, and now a fourth one is created by the three guys, one guy who left from each individual other Zimun. You see what I mean? There was a 3, 3, 3, one guy each left from the previous Zimun and walked over to a new Zimun. They come together. The question is, can they leave? I think that's right, but let me check. Did we get to Nun Amud Bet? Mm-hmm. Almost. Hold on a second. I think they sat down with an other group. I don't think they created the group because they had already eaten. I think it was an other group of people who were, already had a Zimun going. So I think you had three and now you have six. I believe that's what's going on. What did you say? I missed it.
They already benched.
Yeah, they already, we'll see. Even though they are, we'll see. We'll see in a second. We'll see. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, V'hu Shabao Migimel Chavarot Shel Gimel Bnei Adam. So first of all, they have to be coming from three groups that have three Bnei Adam. Because only then are they Chayav the Zimun. Amar Rav Alorman El Delo Akdimu Hanach V'izmun Alayhu B'duchtayu Aval Izmun Alayhu B'duchtayu Parach Zimun Mi Nayhu. That's only in a case where they leave and the remaining group doesn't say Berachat HaMazon for them, doesn't include them in the Zimun. So even if the guy takes a walk, like let's say they're the four of us, one, two, three, four of us here, and Chaim takes a walk, we could actually be Mezamin him even though he's taking a walk. We can include him in our Zimun. I'm pretty sure that's true. Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm not sure. Don't try whatever. Call a Chamachamar Vishnu, but Porshim and a Chabarot, Hutzchul, it said, Lashuk Kodim Gemara Sudat. No, it's before they heard it. They didn't hear anything. They benched quietly to themselves and they ran out to go to the Shuk. And we benched for them. We're allowed to. We said Bechat Mazon, and we included those people that ran away. So
we're
says the
3-in-1.
What does it mean? I mean, if they benched, what do you
mean? Chaim benches. He has to leave. We're all eating together. Chaim benches. He leaves early to leave. Okay. We say. We're going to say Bechat. We're going to say Zimun Nivarech Shachal Mishalo. And when we say Nivarech, we mean Chaim too, even though he left. And what since that's true, he was Yotzei here. He was Yotzei the Zimun. And therefore, he can't be mitzarev to the next zimun. He doesn't have to be mitzarev to the next zimun. But if he left the meal in the middle and he had a chiyuv to do a zimun, he then we didn't include him. We said the three of us were benching. We're saying b'chatan zon. You know, Chaim, goodbye, good luck. And Chaim hits another meal group, then he has to say a zimun with that new meal group. I believe that's the way it reads. Hold on. Ela delo akdimu chaburatosha par. I'm looking Rashi. Chaburatosha parshu elu mihem. The group that he split from, the Izmun Alayhu, they said Zimun for him. Dahani Kigonim Hayu Arba, B'chol Chabura. This case works if you have four. Kishar, Vinishar B'chol Chag Kidei Zimun, and you left three when the guy leaves. Vaporshim Alalo Hayu Tzvichim Latzeit Leshuk. The three, these guys had to run into the Shuk. The article I was reading, by the way, was stealing it right, was taking it right from Rashi. Kodem Shigamru HaChaburot at Sudatam. We simply didn't finish the meal. Chaim left early. We are allowed to be Mezamin him, even though he leaves. How nice of us. So that's so. In that case, aval azmun alayu. But if we said the zimun on him, b'duchdayu in the original spot, parach zimun minayhu. So you sort of blow it. You can't say a new zimun because you didn't have a meal with the new guys. You can't be mitzarev to the old zimun because they've already included you. It's only if they said we're not going to include Chaim because he left. Hopefully, you'll find the zimun somewhere else. Only then can Chaim. Not only does he have to mitzarev to a group, if he's mitzarev to a group, he cannot leave that group. That's a little confusing, I have to say, but if we spend too much time on it, I'm afraid we won't actually. Maybe we'll get back to it and relook at it, and maybe open up a halacha sefer, because it's a very strange. I have to say, it's a very strange situation where you're making a zimun from somebody who's not there. Before, we saw a case where you're making a zimun for somebody who finished his meal and he's just sitting with you. That's fine, but here I'm actually making a zimun with somebody who leaves, so I can't do that. He can't be my third person, but I could include him as a fourth. It's a little strange. Say, I'm a rava mina minalach. How do I know this? Ditznan mita sheganva chatzia o she'avda chatzia. What if I had a bed that it was somebody stole half of the bed or somebody lost half of the bed? The assumption is the bed comes apart in two. O shechaku achin o shutfin tahora. In that case, that bed, which used to be tame, that is, the bed started off tame. Somebody that takes that bed apart, it's no longer a kli. It loses a tame. I can't make something that's not a kli tame. It was tame. It had a dead person on it or whatever it was. At the time it was a bed, that's very nice, but somebody just took half, somebody else took the other half, it's not a kli. The tumah, it's like it disappears, it floats up in the air, it goes away. It's like the bottle opens up, the kli opens up, and the tumah runs out. Hechzira mikabala tumah mikan v'laba. If they put the bed back together, it can from here on in, it can become tame. What does that mean? Mikan lahaba in, l'mafreya lo, but the tumah that it had lost before doesn't come back. So alma kema depaluk paruch. Lay tuma minas. Therefore, you see, when you split the bed in half, the tumor runs away; it doesn't come back. Achinami came into Yizmun alayu parch zimun minayu. Once we, the remaining three, benched on the one person that left, he cannot re-establish his need to do a zimun. Okay. Next, bed chaburot, etc. This is coming from the Mishnah that says that two groups together in the same house, visible distance. Gemara says Tana im yesh shamish b'neihem. Shamish mitzdarfan. If we have a servant running back and forth, then it's really considered one group, even though we sat down at two separate places where we can't see each other. But of course, it has to be in the same house. It has to be in the same house. Ein mevarch mal yayin. Don't make a brach on the wine until you do mazug. And there's a machlokes. Tana rabana on yayin. Ad shelo natan tocha mayim. Ein mevarch mal aborei peri hagafen. Ella borei peri hates. That's what you make. Venotli mimenu l'yadayim. Not only that, you could use it to wash your hands. Because wine, juices, you can't use to wash your hands. But this substance, which is not wine, it's just a goo, that you could use to wash your hands. By the way, Rashi turns this around, but we'll just stick with the simple read of the Gemara. Rashi reads it exactly the other way, which is that only with wine, like juices, can you wash your hands. But I believe we don't paskin like that. I believe juices, you cannot wash your hands, but sludge, you know, like a concentrate, you could. When you put wine in, you make barbecue gefen. And then you're no longer allowed to use your wash your hands because now it's wine. Dibri Rabbi Eliezer. You're not allowed to wash your hands. You say barbecue gefen. I do not need for the hands to be mixed. So the Gemara says, Kiman Azla. Hada Amar Shmuel. Ose Adam Koltzer Chobapat. Wait, who does the opinion that says as follows go like? Shmuel says, we're about to present the opinion of Shmuel, and the question is, does Shmuel agree with Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you are not allowed to wash your hands with it, that you are allowed to wash your hands with it, or like Chacham who say you're not, and it's Bar Pir Gavin? What does he say? Osa Adam Kol Tzarchav Apat. I can do anything I want with bread. Anything I want. Free. It's my bread. I can play baseball with it. Anything I choose to do, I can do. Let me just make sure I'm reading that right. Pretty sure I'm reading that right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm right. Hold on a second. So Gemara says, Kiman, who does Shmuel's opinion go like? Says, Rabbi Eliezer. This is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer said that I was able to use this sludge that wasn't wine for washing my hands. But Chachamim say that Bein Kach or Bein Kach, you're never allowed to wash your hands with it, and it's always considered wine. So only Rebbe Eliezer would let you take something and use it, take bread or food of some sort and use it for something else. I'm a Rebbe Yossi, although I don't know if that's an absolute proof, because if it's already turned into wine, then Rebbe Eliezer says you can't use it to wash your hands. I'm not sure. Maybe this is why Rashi changed the girsa. Anyway, Amar Rav Yossi b'Rebbi Chanina, modim chacham l'Rebbi Eliezer b'kos shel bracha, shem v'archam l'av shenim l'mayim. If you're making kiddush on this wine, then you're not allowed to say it anything, any, you're not allowed to say b'ri per gafen, or unless it is watered down into normal. Mar says, my time, so Amar Rav Oshia, b'inyan mitzvah, b'inyan mitzvah min amuv chari. You can't just do a lousy mitzvah, you gotta do a big mitzvah. V'rabanan l'man chazi. What do Rabbanan say that this wine, this mixture is good for? Some Rav Zera, Chazi Lekuraita. That is, Rabbanan are the ones who say you're allowed to say a Bari Pira Gafin on this. But wait a second, if it's a useless piece of puddle, of sludge, then what good is it for? How can you possibly say a bracha, a Bari Pira Gafin on something that's unuseful? So they say no, because, okay, it doesn't have use as direct wine, but it has use of koraita. Koraita is like a mixture of wine. Think of like a brandy-ish type of thing where you mix the wine with a whole bunch of other things. You make a nice syrupy sludge that you drink. And that's fine. That's bari per gafen. We had that issue a few weeks ago. That is, if the thing is fixed in a way that I'm willing to use it, then I make the right bracha, which in this case is bari per gafen. Tana Rabbanan dalid dvarim namru bapat. Now that we talked about bread, you're not allowed to do the four things. Eimanichem basar chai ala pot. Now, I'm glad we have Sephardim here because I could ask a question. You're not allowed to put raw meat onto bread. Why? Because the raw meat will turn the bread. Nobody want to eat it anymore, and then you'll ruin it. Eim avirim kosa male ala pot. You're not allowed to pass a full cup over the pot because some will drip off and you'll ruin your bread. Ein zorkin et pot. You're not allowed to throw the bread. Ein somchin et akara pot. And you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to hold up a plate because then the plate may spill over onto the bread and ruin it. Now, do all Sephardim throw bread? No. I know that Jacobs do. I looked at there's a halacha here. There is a halacha here. I don't know. So I think this is the possibility, by the way. I'm not sure. I didn't look up the halacha. You know, this is like, you know, Daf Yomi, you avoid all kind of avoids analysis. What I think might be going on here is that all these cases, the bread gets ruined. It could be that if you know the bread's not going to get ruined, that is, what's the problem? In all these, all three other cases, not to do with respect of the bread. It has to do with the fact that the bread will get ruined. You're not allowed to ruin bread. It's baltashkes. By throwing. Well, that's what I'm thinking. I think what they were... What? What?
The bread gets degraded.
The bread gets degraded by throwing.
It's a
bouchard. Yeah, well, see, that's not... in the other cases, it's not an issue of bishop. It's an issue of the degradation of the bread and something else. So I...
The one can't catch it.
I got to... Yeah, but keep in mind also, keep in mind where they ate. They didn't eat in clean rooms, clean houses. We're going to see there's a difference between something you can do during the winter when there's mud and during the summer when it becomes mutter because there's no mud. So it could be in our clean tables, et cetera, where you're just throwing it on the table. It's okay. It could be that it doesn't fall under the salacha, but chucking your bread, you know, across the room to somebody is not okay because the bread falls on the floor and nobody is going to want to eat it. Yeah, that's right. So chucking somebody bread, you know, you're really taking a chance. It's not like... Yeah. So it could be that the reason why people do it in these times, because this halacha is only applying to a case where the bread is not going to be embarrassed, where the bread is going to really be degraded in such a way where it's not edible. Yeah, and across, it's not like they had floors. They had dirt floors. One, you know, throw to somebody, unless they're a really good catcher, it's going to land on the floor, you won't be able to eat it. I think that may be the issue here, because I've seen too many Sephardim. I don't know. I have to look up the halacha. That's the right way to do it. I'm sure the Shulchan Aruch talks about Beit Yosef. I'm sure they go into it and explain it. Off the top of my head, the only thing that I could explain, because I can't chas v'shalom be choshed any Sephardi. I'm sure every Sephardi knows exactly what they're doing. If they throw bread, it must be okay. Ah, this Gemara says not to throw bread. So I don't know what to tell you. So Sephardim are always right. So there must be a different way to understand this Gemara. So I'll continue on, having said that. So I may...
So you're
saying that that's worse than throwing the bread. So you go with the throwing the bread because of the yatam issue. That's like out of the frying pan into the fire. That's like out of the fire into the frying pan. So you're still in trouble, you're just in less trouble than the yatam thing? Is that the idea?
I don't know.
Okay, it could be. Okay, I understand.
Same thing.
What?
You don't hand bread. You put it on a plate, and you give it a plate.
Ah, Okay.
To the
yeah. Okay. Okay. So Zutra of Ravashi Karku Rifta Bahadeh. They're all making sandwiches together. Aiti the Kamayu Timrei Verimone. They get dates and rimonim are pomegranates. Thank you. Shakal Mar Zutra Patak Lekame de Rav Ashi de Satna. So I think there were also meat. So he took the Zutra, the Patak, which is the meat. And I'm sorry, Patak means to throw. Shakal Mar Zutra, he took it. Patak Lekame de Rav Ashi, threw it in front of Rav Ashi. What did he throw? Satna, according to Rav Ashi's piece of meat. So Amalei Lo Savar, he said to him, Lo Savar La Mala, Detani Ain Zarka, what are you doing? Throwing me food? Are you crazy? You know, you don't believe you're not supposed to throw food? The Gemara says, no. And so he said, no, Tanya, that your food, your bread you're not allowed to throw, but all the other food you're allowed to throw. Vahatan, Kashem Zen Zarkin at the pot, Kamin Zarkin at the Ochim. No, it's not a pot specialty. You're never allowed to waste food. Samarlei, Vahatan, Yafel P. Shain Zarkin at the pot of all Zarkin at the Ochim. Wait a second, there's something else that says you're allowed to throw. The food is different, you're allowed to throw it, even in a case where you're not allowed to throw bread. So the Gemara says, Ela lo kasha. Hab imidi de mais, vahadi imidi lo mais. The kind of food that you're allowed to throw is the kind of food that doesn't get disgusting. If it's food that gets disgusting, then it's just like bread, which means the whole thing we're talking about bread, is the ability for it to get disgusting. But if it's a piece of something that won't get disgusting, like an apple. Apple hits the table, hits the floor, whatever. I pick it up, I wipe it off, and I eat it. But something like a raw piece of meat, that's a problem. That's a problem. So, Tana Rabbanan, unless it was... Oh no. That's why Rashi says it's a cooked piece of meat. I apologize. Rashi says a cooked piece of meat. Why a cooked piece of meat? I guess not worried about degradation. Yeah, you know, you wash it off, you eat it. So Tana Rabbanan Mamshichin Biayin Bitsina wrote the Chatan Fei Kala. So you keep the wine flowing in front of the Chatan Kala. It's kind of spraying of wine or something. Bizarkim Lefnaim Kaliot Vegozim. You throw a Kaliot and some type of nuts and a Gozim, another type of nuts. Bimota Cham in the summer. Avalo Bimota Kshayim. But you don't do this kind of throwing of the food in during the winter because of the mud. So I'm like glusko lo bimota cham lo bimota ksham. When it comes to like a bread substance or a cake or wheat of some sort, glusko, you're not allowed to throw it all, which means that the whole rice throwing thing is bad. All right, Amr of Yehuda Shachach there. See, that's my second pro-Jewish comment for today. It's probably the whole, I don't know, maybe the election of the Pope thing has me riled. I don't know. What's that?
That's why we have a Jewish Pope.
Why, you the name, you mean? Those are you?
No,
it's really? Oh, my goodness.
Huh?
What other guy?
What's the Jew?
Those Jews
do. No, this one is Jewish. My neighbor.
Really? Another Jew. Okay.
I talked to my... Now that's got a Jewish boy, now that he...
They didn't mention on the radio. Anyway, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shachach v'hichnis ochlin toch pi, below bracha. Very interesting little Gemara here. What if you forgot you put food in your mouth? You don't take the food out, you stick it into the side of your mouth, make a bracha. Tanya, it's good to know that we're not the only ones that occasionally forget, you know, put some food in and make fever. So Tanya Chada Bolin, Tanya, we're almost at the end. Tanya Chada Bolin, Tanya Idach Poltin, Tanya Idach Masalkin. I actually have three choices here. I got one case where you swallow the food, then you make a bracha. Another case where you spit it out and then make a bracha. And the third case where you put it on the side of the mouth. That's what masalka means. So lo kasha. Had the tanya bolin bimashkim. When do you swallow it? That's when you have liquid because you can't do anything else with it. You're spitting it out. It's disgusting. You can't put it inside your mouth. Had the tanya poltin. When you get rid of it, immediately lo mamais. That's when you're eating a lollipop. So you eat a lollipop. You take it out. It doesn't get disgusting. So you take it out and then then you make a bracha. You put it back in. Vahad, the tanya masalkim on the things inside. That's hard foods, non-liquid foods, medium mice, things that get disgusting. So you don't want to take it out of your mouth because it's gross and you won't want to put it back in. So then you put it in your cheek and you make a bracha. So Gemara says, even if the thing doesn't get disgusting, once it's okay to put something in the side of your mouth and make a bracha, so put the food in the side of your mouth and make a bracha. What's the big deal? So Gemara says, no, Targumar of Yosi kaskasa. Kami de Rav Yosi bar Avin, Mishmei de Rav Yona, Mishum Shenemar, Yimalei Picha Tilatecha. Your whole mouth is supposed to be filled up with a blessing. You can't do that. You got a piece of wad of steak caught in there. So even though that doesn't override a disgusting piece of food that will be disgusting if you take it out, that overrides something that you can take out easily and put back in afterwards. What happens if you ate and you drank? You forgot to make a blessing. So now, should you make a bracha now? Amrlei Misha Achal Shum Vrecho Nodev Yachzor V'yochal Shum Achar Kidei Shei Recho Nodav. Somebody eats garlic and the smell is disgusting. to make himself feel better, he's going to eat more, and that'll make him smell even worse. The parallel is, this guy's going to forget the first time, he'll forget the second time. So what have you done? You've compounded his error with another error. Amar Avina Halacha. So here's a disagreement. Amar Avina says no. Halacha Hilkach Afilu Gamar Sudato Yachzor V'Yavarach. I'm going to tell you that if you finish your meal, you really should go make a bracha Rishona. Rishona. It's why Tavol Va'Ala Omer Baliato Baruch Asher Kedishan Vosotavit Zman Al Tefillah. A guy who comes out of the mikvah, a woman who comes out of the mikvah, says a bracha after the tefillah. So the Gemara says no. Velohi. What kind of proof is that? Hatamei Kara Gavar Lo Chaza. When before you went in the mikvah, you can't make a bracha on the tefillah because you haven't done it yet. But Hachamekar Gabra Chazi, first the guy was about to eat. He was about to make a bracha on the food he put in his mouth. V'hol v'idchi idchi. Once he has lost it, it is gone forever. You lost the bracha Rishona completely. And that is, did I get to the end of the page? Oh, good. Is that okay if we stop there?
Yes.
And that is the Gemara for today. And 50 minutes. 50 minutes. And we only stopped and schmoozed a little bit.